If you will, go to Acts with me, the book of Acts chapter 27, Acts chapter number 27 tonight, Acts chapter 27. I want to speak to you just real briefly here this evening. I promise you this is going to be a short sermon. We've had a good time already together in fellowship. You studied Ephesians chapter number 5, and so you got your Bible study in for the week. That's good. And some of you went home and studied it today, and I hope that it worked well for you and you were able to answer a couple of questions, or at least you knew some of the answers. But as you turn there to Acts 27, we meet here as Paul is being sent to Rome, of course being a prisoner at this point, and he is being sent to Rome, and over in the verses around 10 and 11, he says, I perceive that there's going to be some damage, there's going to be a storm, and everything's going to go awry, and he's basically trying to encourage them to stay in a nice commodious area, a good place to winter, and of course they didn't want to. The centurion, in verse number 11, believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken by Paul, and so of course they sent out. The haven was not commodious to enter in. The more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phinehas. Now, more than likely, these are a bunch of sailors, right? These are a bunch of sailors, and probably this little area that they were at, they say, well, this isn't a good area to put in for port. There's nothing for us to do. There are no taverns around here. There's no riotous living. We don't want to stop here. We don't want to spend the winter here. Let's press on. Let's move forward. And so, of course, the centurion listened, and they did so. And down in verses number 14 down through 20, Euryclidon, that tempestuous storm arose, and there were all kinds of problems. I'm going to have you stand. We're going to read verses number 21 down through verse number 25. In verse 21, as you stand, the Bible says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Tonight I want us to look at the word cheer. We're going to turn over into the New Testament in a moment, or into the Gospels in a moment. But I want us to see three cheers from Jesus. Now the word cheers in our day and age comes up with a negative understanding, a negative connotation. Yesterday we were out soul winning, and I spoke to an individual who he wasn't an ambassador, but he, in his civil engineering, he had gone over into foreign land, foreign countries, and into the former Soviet Union, and talked about the different areas and different Prague was one of them. Brother Dave and he would talk a little bit about some of the areas over that they had both had gone to, and he said, I found out that they're really, if you only knew, because we were talking about languages, he said, I found out that if you only know three words in any language, you can get by. And I forget what the first one was. What was it? Yes. He said, you need to know how to say yes, you need to know how to say no, and you need to know how to say cheers. And he chuckled to himself. I didn't chuckle with him. I understood what he was trying to say. So when I talk about the cheers that we find from Jesus, it's certainly not the kind that we hear about today. But I want us to know about these three cheers from Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you so much for the church that we have. Lord, we speak about it, Lord. And as we upcome just in 2 weeks, Lord, we'll have an I Love My Church Sunday. Lord, I do love this church, and I thank you so much for it. But Lord, we know that in Scripture you love the church, and I'm grateful for that. Lord, I pray that tonight you would help us to see the cheers that we have, Lord. Those exciting times that are given to us in Scripture. Bless our time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll have you be seated tonight. Now, we began here, I began on purpose in the book of Acts, where it says here, and of course it said up in verse number 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And then he gets down to verse number 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And I am grateful for those who say, I believe God, and I believe the Bible that God has given to us, and I believe the God of that Bible. We can believe God, we can take His word for it. I was going to start, I'll read the verse to you out of Deuteronomy. I was going to begin with this verse in Deuteronomy 24 and verse number 5. It says, when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken. I don't know exactly what that means to new husbands and wives. But I always chuckled about that when my wife and I first got married. I'll never forget Brother Al. He looked at me and said, Brother, you should take a year off. That's what they did in the Bible. They had 1 year off to cheer up their wife. I said, man, I better not have to worry about that. I hope I don't. But we look at the word cheer. We look at the word cheer, the excitement, the encouragement of that word cheer. And as Paul says, oh, be of good cheer. Be of good encouragement. Be of good excitement, because I believe God and what God has said we're going to do. Amen. Take your Bible. Go over to Matthew if you would. We find there are only three times in the Gospels that the word cheer is used. In Matthew chapter number 9 is the first. Matthew chapter number 9. Now again, I have said before, when you do a study of the Bible, oftentimes you'll want to look at often mentioned things. Things that are spoken of often in the Bible are important to God, but also seldom mentioned things are important. Only a few times they're mentioned. And yes, we encounter the word cheer at various points all the way Old Testament, New Testament. But in the Gospels, it only happens three times. It only happens one time in Matthew, one time in the book of Mark, one time in the book of John. And we're going to look at all three of those tonight. The first one, if you go to verse number, chapter number 9, we'll look here at the verse number 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over, this is talking about Jesus, and came in his own city. And behold, they brought him to a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. The first cheer that we find in the Gospels is the cheer of conversion. Oh, we can rejoice about the conversion of a lost soul. I hope that you never forget how wonderful it is to be saved. I hope you never forget about, even though we didn't get to hear it, we read about it in Scripture, that the rejoicing that went on in heaven, the day that you saved, the day that you humbled yourself before God and you said, dear Lord God, I'm sorry for my sin, and Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell and I want to be saved. Oh, don't ever forget that day. Don't ever forget that day. It says there, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, we can read on. And of course, in verse number 3, hey, behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Jesus, of course, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? Now listen, we're talking about a man here, as it says in verse number 2, this man that was sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. He couldn't walk. He couldn't move around for himself. And Jesus came to him and said, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, of course, they murmured in their own heart. They didn't verbalize it. They didn't have to verbalize it. The Son of God knew what their heart was already thinking. Amen. And he looked at him and said, what's your problem? What is going to be more difficult? As it says, that I would say in verse number 5, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. You know, they're looking at this man. This man is incapable of walking. The palsy. His muscles would not move. He didn't have the strength to stand. We encounter many of them in the Bible, many of which, of course, were healed. And I remind you again that once that happens, boy, the responsibility is laid squarely on your shoulders. Any time that God healed an individual and told him arise and walk, then the responsibility was upon them to go about their day and to live as every other man. Just as it was the day that you got saved, the responsibility is yours now to find out, what does God expect of me? I can't suck my thumb the rest of my Christian life. I can't run to mommy and daddy the rest of my Christian life. I need to go to God and find out what does He expect. But in verse number 7, he says, what is going to be more difficult? Whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And of course he did, he arose and he went. You see, this teaches me something very important. I'm very, very thankful. We have every Wednesday night, we meet together, and before the preaching, we have a prayer sheet that we hand out, and then I'll ask, you know, if there are those that weren't able to email me a prayer request, is there something? And so many of that are listed on our prayer sheet are those who, for eye difficulties, or for stroke difficulty, or for cancer. So many of them on our list are health related. We know that. But you know, it's more exciting. It's more exciting when someone says, I have a friend, or I have a loved one, I have this or that. They need the Lord to fix them physically. But can we pray for their salvation?
Yes, right.
Can we pray for their salvation? You look at the order in which Christ did this. He healed the sick of the palsy, but first he healed him of his sin. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee, be of good cheer. Oh, listen, more important than you walking around, more important than you being able to take up your bed and go back home to your house or your wife, more important than that is to make sure that your sins are forgiven. Oh, folks, the cheer of conversion, it's a wonderful thing. Don't ever forget the day that you were converted. Don't ever forget the day that you were saved. I've said before so many times, you don't find where it says, and Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. And Paul received Christ as his Savior on the road to Damascus. And Paul was born again. Although all of those words are Bible words. You must be born again. For whosoever shall confess with their mouth and believe on their heart, thou shalt be saved. And I know I slaughtered that verse. Those are Bible words. Born again, be saved, trust Christ. Oh, but you see, the point of conversion is what happened in Paul's life. The point of conversion took place very, very clearly on that road. Oh, he realized his need, and he understood that there was a God in heaven that had sent his precious Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, the cheer of conversion. Go over to Mark chapter number 6. We'll look at the second one. Mark chapter number 6. Don't ever lose the joy of your salvation. Don't ever lose the joy, by the way, the cheer of conversion. Don't ever lose the joy of hearing about one born again, one saved. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that. Oh, I thank the Lord for those that walk an aisle. I mean that. We should be so excited about they've chosen to trust Christ as their Savior during a church service. But what about those that we hear about that trust Christ out on soul winning? What about those that we hear about that trusted Christ maybe during a discipleship time? Well, praise the Lord. Let's never tire of that. Let's be more excited about someone who got saved than someone making a touchdown. Amen. Boy, amen. You're in Mark chapter number 6. Look here if you would. Let's see. Go back to verse number 45. Here, of course, Jesus again straightway constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. So we know the scenario, the scene is set before us. The disciples here, those 12, now they're in the boat. He had sent everyone else that had listened to him preach. He sent them away. He goes up into the high place, up into a mountain to pray. And it gets here to verse number 48. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed them by. Oh, there's so much that we could take off and preach about here. But let's keep reading. Verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. And they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, we see first the cheer of conversion. The second is the cheer of companionship. Oh, that we have through our Savior. Well, I'm glad that I'm saved, but I'm glad that I can have companionship with the very Son of God. How great that is to be able to have companionship. Oh, be of good cheer, as it says there in verse 50. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, you don't need to be afraid. You've got a companion.
Amen.
And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. Oh, the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. Oh, the companionship that we have with our Savior. Of course, it goes on in verse 51. He went up unto them in the ship and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart were hardened. And boy, we could preach about the fact that he was willing, and they watched as he fed the multitudes. And now he gets to a point where he has another miracle, walking upon the sea. They were scared, and they were so concerned. They thought it was a spirit. Well, they cried out for fear. But he calls unto them. He talks with them. He says, "Be not afraid. Be of good cheer, for it is I." Oh, the cheer of companionship that we have here. Even when you feel like you are all alone, Christ is there with you. When you know Jesus as your Savior, you're never alone. Oh, you're never alone. We have the cheer of conversion. We have the cheer of companionship. Go over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We find the last cheer that we read about in the Gospels. John 16. Go if you would here. Oh, let's see. Where do I want to begin? Well, let's go to verse number 31. I'll just start there. Jesus answered unto them, or answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. For these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Oh, praise the Lord. We sang the song, "I'm on the winning side." We have last the cheer of the conqueror. Oh, the cheer of the conqueror. I am on the winning side when I'm on the side of Jesus Christ. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When all else fails, we're on the winning side. When if our church never grows beyond 75, we're on the winning side. If I lose my job, we're on the winning side. If you your car breaks down, praise the Lord, you're on the winning side. If you lose your house, your home, if you lose your job, if your family disowns you, you're on the winning side if you know Christ as your Savior. Oh, folks, we have the cheer of the conqueror. Oh, we cannot say any more clearly than that. We don't have to worry about what the world has to offer. We don't have to worry about the naysayers. I don't have to worry about everything that the world might tell me is going to go wrong. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. We have the cheer of the conqueror. These three simple cheers. A cheer of conversion. Or are you saved tonight? Are you saved, and do you look forward to hearing about someone else come to Christ? Amen. Do you look forward to that? Man, do you get excited about the invitation? Man, at the invitation you say, "Oh Lord, if there's one here, Lord, would you just press them, Lord, with the Holy Spirit be upon them. Lord, I want to see them saved. I want to see someone walk to the aisle. I want to see someone come to know Christ this morning." You go out soul winning. I had someone tell me recently, I prayed last night before soul winning, "Oh Lord, would you give us opportunity?" And this morning I prayed, "Would you give us opportunity that we might be able to give the gospel?" And praise the Lord, God did. They had a great opportunity. Well, did they get saved, Pastor? And don't ask that. They got to give the gospel. Amen. That's our job. Yes. Our job isn't to go out and save people. Our job is to give the gospel. Yes. Oh, I thank the Lord that we have the opportunity. Yes. Do you get excited Amen. About that? Do you get excited about the possibility that it might be today someone's eternity changes? Someone. Do you get excited about that? Do you see the cheer of companionship? Are you excited about the fact that you have a companion that is with you at all times? Oh, do you get excited about the fact that we are on the winning side? We serve the conqueror. Oh, I thank the Lord there is nothing that will ever be done. There is no war that will ever be fought, but that Jesus Christ has already won the battle. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, if you will, have a word of prayer to Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that this evening you would be with that message. Lord, quick, I know, very, very short, but oh, Lord, I pray that we would see these three cheers that we hear from Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would be as excited as the angels in heaven when someone comes to know Christ as their Savior. Lord, You told the church in the book of Revelation that they have lost their first love. Oh, I pray that we would never lose that, but we would always be excited at the fact that we're saved and born again. Lord, we would never let it become just commonplace that we know we're saved. And we've been saved for so long it means nothing to us. Oh, I pray that we would always cherish that day. Lord, we are on the winning side. We serve the conqueror. What a cheer that is. I have overcome the world. Oh, I pray that You would help us to realize that. Tonight, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Oh, what is it this evening that you need to be cheerful about? What is it this evening that you need to have cheer in your life? You say, well, I've got all kinds of circumstances. I've got health problems. I've got job problems. I've got marriage problems. I've got children problems. Understand that God knows all about that. He knew it before you were going to go through it. We can still be cheerful about what God's doing. If we let the world tell us when to be cheerful and when not to be cheerful, if we let circumstances dictate when we're going to be excited about the Lord, then we're never going to be excited about the Lord. Well, let's be willing to be cheerful. Lord, You've seen tonight the hearts, Lord, every person here, I pray that their hearts would be open, Lord, and I pray that perhaps, Lord, if there is something that was said, that they would respond, Lord, they would come to You and ask for that cheer, Lord, that You give. For we ask it in Jesus' name.